Well, the text that we will be studying this morning is Psalm 138. It's a psalm of thanks, Psalm 138, and it can be found on page 661 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 138, hear now God's holy word. Psalm 138 of David. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. By strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Our Father in heaven, as we now spend some time studying your word, we ask that you would help give us clarity of thought, that you'd enlighten us by your Holy Spirit. And Father, in particular, we ask that you would guide my words and my thoughts, and that I would only speak things that are pleasing to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is a holiday that we commonly call Thanksgiving. It's a day of giving thanks. Some of you have just shared some of the ways that God has blessed you, some of the ways that God has been merciful to you. And so you've publicly professed your thankfulness to God. And this day, this Thanksgiving holiday, is a holiday or tradition that we honor in our country. And when we think back to the origin of Thanksgiving, we often think of 1691, when a group of pilgrims had a feast with a group of Native Americans. And this day was as widely held as the origin of Thanksgiving in our country. But in reality, this was not the first Thanksgiving in our country. The first recorded Thanksgiving happened 11 years earlier in Jamestown, Virginia. See, this Thanksgiving happened when a group of pilgrims had a harsh, cold winter and they had little food to survive. And so this group that started as 409 citizens broke down to a group of 60. And so the survivors prayed for help, asking that the Lord would be merciful to them and provide for their needs, not knowing when or how this help would arrive. And when help arrived, it arrived in the form of a ship from England carrying food and supplies. And so this group of pilgrims had a time of prayer, a prayer meeting, offering up thanks to God. This is the origin of Thanksgiving. It's a day of giving thanks to our God for his gracious mercies that he so willingly bestows toward us. And this is really the heart of our text this morning. We don't know the background of the situation that David was in when he wrote this psalm, but what we do know is that David is offering up thanks to the Lord for his mercy and grace in his life. And like the psalmist, we too should come before the Lord with thankfulness for the ways in which he has blessed us. Therefore, our theme this morning is, let us look to God with thankfulness for the ways in which he has blessed us and will continue to be good to us. Let us come before the Lord with thankfulness for the ways that he has blessed us and will continue to be good to us. Now this morning we're going to look at this psalm in 3 points. The first point being, let us look back on our lives with thankfulness at the ways that the Lord has sustained and blessed us. Our second point is, let us look forward with hope that others will come to sing praises to God. And point three, let us look forward in faith that God will continue to be good to us. Now this brings us to our first point this morning. Let us look back on our lives with thankfulness at the ways that our Lord has sustained us. As we look at our text this morning, we see that David starts this psalm by expressing his heartfelt thanks to God for the ways that God has already sustained and blessed him. Please look at verses 1 through 3 with me. I give thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. For the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to you, to your name, for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. So here we see David offering up thanks to God. And he isn't just praising God with his lips or with his mouth. David is offering up heartfelt thanks to God. He's offering up this thanks passionately with his whole heart for the ways that God has already been merciful to him. And he's offering up this praise publicly with boldness. He isn't hiding this heartfelt gratitude, but he's publicly proclaiming his thankfulness to God. In our translation, it says that David says before the gods, he offers his praise. But the Hebrew word here used, or translated as gods, can also be translated as kings or angels. And so David isn't just proclaiming his thankfulness to God before the pagan gods of the day. David is publicly proclaiming his thankfulness to all who will hear. He's proclaiming his thankfulness to God. And that's what this day is about, friends. This Thanksgiving Day. It's a day in which we remember the way that God has so blessed us and has been so gracious to us. Again, some of us shared our thankfulness earlier on in this service. And when we proclaim our thankfulness to God, we are focusing on Christ. David tells us that he would bow down toward the holy temple. And what's the significance of this? Why is David bowing down to the temple? Well, during the time when David reigned, the temple was the house of God. And so in bowing down, David was again making a public proclamation of his thankfulness to God. He's bowing down toward God. But as Matthew Henry put it, Christ is our temple now. Christ is our king. And when we proclaim our thanks, we do it while focusing on Christ. We don't need to bow down to the left or to the right. We don't need to focus and bow down toward Jerusalem. We focus on Christ alone and proclaim our gratitude and thankfulness for his mercy and his grace. But why should we be thankful to God? Well, David reminds us of God's steadfast love and faithfulness. Friends, God loves us with an unwavering love, and he is faithful to caring for us. There may have been times in your life where you go through some very difficult times, some struggles and some heartache. There might have been times in your life when you don't even want to get out of bed. Perhaps you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But during those times, friends, God as our Heavenly Father was right there beside you, comforting and sustaining you in your time of grief. David says, On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. See, when we cry out to God, he is faithful in answering our prayers. He may not answer us in the way that we expect or the way that we want, but he always answers our prayers according to his good pleasure. And he causes all things to work for the good of his kingdom and for his people. In the case of the psalmist, David cried out to God during his distress and asked the Lord for comfort. And in his mercy, the Lord gave David a speedy answer. He answered David's prayers by giving him strength of soul. But what other things can we thank God for? Well, God has given us his word, and he's exalted his name above all things. He's made himself known to us through his word and through the beauty of creation. Our God has a personal relationship with us. He's given us his word to teach us how we should live. And he's also given us his word so that we could come to know him. What a gracious gift, brothers and sisters. God has given us his word so that we may come to know him. And like the false gods of David's day, our God has given us his word so that we may have a personal relationship with him. And in response, we, like David, publicly express our thankfulness to God. And that's what this day is all about, this day of giving thanks. But David took this concept a little further. After proclaiming the ways that God has already blessed him, he goes on and he shares that his hope is that one day through his testimony, that others may come to know and bow before Jesus Christ, our Lord. This brings us to our second point this morning. Let us look forward with hope that others may come and sing praises to God. Please look at verses 4 and 5 with me. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. So here we see that David has publicly professed his testimony of the mercy of God in his life, of the faithfulness of God. And his hope is that others may hear this testimony and come to know him, come to know God. And David wasn't just proclaiming that God is good. David was giving specific examples of the way that God has been merciful to him. He probably brought up the story of how God preserved his life when he was fighting against Goliath. He probably brought up the way that God protected him from the sword of Saul. You see, David shared his testimony of the Lord's mercy and goodness in his life. David said, "All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks." Remember, David was a king. So he had an audience with other kings from the other nations. His hope was that these kings of these neighboring nations might come to know and praise the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The commentator Matthew Henry believed that David was actually taking this even a step further. Henry believed that David was also looking further to the calling of the Gentiles and to the discipling of all nations by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That David was calling all nations to faith in Christ, in whom it is said that all kings shall fall down before him. How does this passage apply to us, friends? How can we follow in the footsteps of David? Well, again, through our public testimony of Christ. As we spend this day with our friends and family, we must make it clear why we are really thankful. We must make it clear that we're not just thankful for our cars, for our jobs, for our friends, for our homes, for our good food. These are all good things, but these are not the only things we're thankful for. We must make it clear that we are chiefly thankful for Jesus Christ, who has so graciously provided these things for us. We shouldn't just be thankful this day. We should be thankful every day. We shouldn't proclaim this thankfulness just today. We should show our thankfulness to God every day. Brothers and sisters, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have an abundance of good food. We have a loving congregation of believers to fellowship with. We have friends and family that care about us. But the one thing that towers above the rest, the one blessing of God that is much more precious than the finest of gold or the finest of silver, is the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. You see, through Christ's great sacrifice, our past, our present, and our future sins are forgiven. Brothers and sisters, what a precious gift we've been given. What a precious gift to be thankful for. The God of the universe cared enough about us that he condescended and lived life as a man. He was born in a filthy barn. And he came to suffer life as a man so that you and I could be saved. Because we're in Christ, because he's given us faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can look forward in comfort, knowing that God will continue to be good to us. This brings us to our final point this morning. Let us look forward in faith that our God will continue to be good to us. Please look at verses 6 through 8 with me. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the haughty or proud, he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. In verse 6, we see that David makes reference to the personal relationship that God has with his people. Though God is high and exalted above all nations, above all things, he condescends to meet with us. He lowers himself so that he will meet with his people. And he calls us to humility. God calls us to humility. And as the psalmist tells us this morning, God will meet with us in humility. But in contrast, God knows the haughty or the proud from afar. This is because the proud tend not to submit to God. They tend to think that they have it all together, that they do not need to bow before God. But the psalmist goes on and declares that God will continue to protect and sustain us. David says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, God will preserve my life, and he will stretch out his mighty right hand against my enemies. Brothers and sisters, this promise is for us today. This promise of God protecting us is true for us today. God will preserve us, and he will defeat all of our enemies. In the statement that David makes, he's referring to two things. One, God will protect us from our enemies in the present. And two, God will protect us from all our enemies for all eternity. But how does God protect us from our enemies in the present? Think of the enemy that sin is to us. Think of the fact that we so often seem to stumble into old sins over and over again. Well, brothers and sisters, as we grow in our sanctification, Christ is actively defeating this enemy of sin. He's defeating this enemy, this sin nature, by the power of his Holy Spirit. And as we're sanctified, we're growing more and more like Christ. Think of the times when you're tempted to stumble into sin. Think of the times that you cry out to Christ, asking Christ to help you. Christ is right there beside you, actively defeating your enemy. Taking this a little further, David is also referring to the fact that Christ will protect us from our enemies for all eternity. And in keeping his promise, he will do this. So brothers and sisters, not only do we have a God that has personal relationships with us, that wants to get to know us personally and wants us to get to know him personally, but he's actively involved in protecting us and working in our lives, even protecting us from our enemies. Now friends, the psalmist could have stopped right here. He could have stopped the psalm right here and he would have had a magnificent psalm of thanks. But instead, David moves on. He says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Like David, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for you and me. Better translation of this text is, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. See, as a believer, God has promised that he will sanctify us in this life. He's promised to sanctify us and to cause us to grow in grace. Sometimes God sanctifies us through various trials and storms in our lives. Other times God sanctifies us through the quiet times. But either way, God is perfecting that which concerns you and me. He's slowly and gradually sanctifying us. He's gradually perfecting our sanctification. And how can we know that God will do this? Because as David reminds us, the Lord's steadfast love endures forever. He will do these things because he has promised to do them. And he will do these things because of his steadfast love or his unwavering love. Finally, David closes this psalm by asking the Lord to not forsake him. You see, any any good that David had within him and any good that we have within us is due to the Lord. It's due to the mercy and grace of God. And if God were to forsake us, then any good within us would fail. And so David concludes this psalm by asking God not to forsake him. And as David has reminded us in verse 7, the Lord will never forsake us, for he will always fulfill his purpose for us. The words of wise Matthew Henry: those he loves, he will love until the end. Friends, this psalm has given us a lot to think about this morning. So it's given us a lot to be thankful for. But as this Thanksgiving Day comes and goes, we must not lose this heart of thanksgiving. We must regularly remind ourselves of the reasons that we have to be thankful, of the ways that God has so richly blessed us, the ways that he is currently blessing us, and the promise that he will continue to be faithful to us. As our time this morning comes to an end, I'd like to read a poem for you written by Connie Campbell Bratcher that illustrates the main point of the sermon. The poem goes like this. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for cleansing and making me whole. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for being the light of my life and guiding me each day. Thank you that in times of trouble and strife, you always show the way. Thank you that I can trust your loving care as I rest in your hand. Thank you for answering my every prayer according to your plan. Thank you that you sometimes say wait or no to work things out for my good, and for teaching me what I should not do as well as what I should. Thank you for being my security, my anchor in the storm. Thank you that in the deep turbulent sea you keep me safe from harm. Thank you that through you I can do all things in your strength. I am free. Thank you that whatever hardship life brings, you're right there beside me. Brothers and sisters, as we go home this day and any day, let us not forget what we should be most thankful for: the redeeming and sustaining love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word that you've given to us. Father, we thank you for the way that you have been so good to us throughout our lives. And thank you for the promise that you will continue to be good to us, that you will continue to be faithful to us. And Father, we ask that that these words would not be lost from our minds and from our hearts, but that we would meditate on them day and night, and that we would always remain thankful to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.